In response to the preaching of the word, let us sing from Psalter number 79, all the stanzas of Psalter number 79. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you know, we, all of us, are travelers to eternity. That is made very clear in the Bible in a number of ways. In Peter, for instance, or Peter in his letter, he calls us pilgrims or sojourners and travelers. And so, one particular preacher that I know of many years ago, he had the habit of addressing the congregation in the following way: "My fellow travelers to an astounding eternity." Well, there's something to be said about that, because we are indeed traveling to an astounding eternity. As you know, of course, we have no permanent place in this world. We read, for instance, in Psalm 103, that our place is not at one time to be found anymore on earth. And let me just quote from Psalm 103, "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." I remember some 50 years ago, when my wife and I went to the Netherlands with our little daughter, in order to show off, I suppose, to show off our little daughter to the family. And then one day I decided to visit the cemetery where my grandparents were buried. And as I got closer to that place, I was shocked, because the cemetery was gone and there were some apartment buildings there in its place. I could not even find the burial place of my grandparents anymore. And so, there is something to be said in terms of the truth here, that someday, your and my place may not even be found anymore. This means, of course, that our place on this earth is only temporary, isn't it? Precisely because we are traveling. We are traveling to an eternity, either an eternity of joyful bliss through faith in Christ, or an eternity of horrible condemnation through rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, it should not surprise any of us, dear people, to hear that we are traveling on a shaky globe, a shaky globe. Someday, this world that we live in will be so shaken up that it will be her end. And that is, of course, when Christ will return. We read of this in the verses, actually, that come just before our text. But these verses inform us, you and me already, that such things will happen. Because, and this is really why this is proclaimed to us even this hour, so that God will be served acceptably, regardless of any shakeup that will happen, even as it is happening this day. And so he says, and these are the words of our text again, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken or moved," as it says in the King James Version, "let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Let us then be sure that we, by faith in Jesus Christ, are Christian travelers, and that we have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we will walk in the way, and that we may also be comforted and encouraged to know that He, as it were, goes ahead of us. He goes ahead of us. He shows us the way. Well then, as we travel on to eternity, dear people, let us draw from our text the following lessons. a fitting exhortation to serve God acceptably. That's our theme. First, the reason for acceptable service. Secondly, the manner of such acceptable service. And then thirdly, the circumstances around such acceptable service. Now, congregation, we are exhorted. And yes, I use that word on purpose. We are exhorted by the Word of God to acceptable service of God when our text speaks of serving God acceptably. Now, it is, of course, by the grace of God when we have learned to conduct ourselves in daily life so that we may be acceptable to our fellow man in a general way. And this may not necessarily be all that easy because we cannot possibly please everyone. We know that already, particularly as we find ourselves in this lockdown again. We cannot please everyone, but as long as we can be united in the Spirit of God. In fact, a certain aspect of Christian conduct will not be pleasing to those who are not Christian at all. But still, I would say, no matter. We should do our best to have a good report about ourselves, also with those who are not part of a church. So, those who are in the world. But, dear people, as you understand, it is even more important that we conduct ourselves to be pleasing to God. It is great, of course, to receive the compliments of man, but what does God think of us, you and me? Are we acceptable to God? Is our serving Him acceptable to Him? Now, what is the reason then why we, you and I, as believers, should be serving God acceptably, as our text tells us? Our text says, because if we are believers, we are receiving a kingdom. So, the reason why we are called to serve God acceptably is because we are in the process, and that is really what is meant by our text, we are in the process of receiving a kingdom. Remember that due to our fall into sin, we were once slaves to sin. But Jesus Christ redeemed us, if we are believers, Jesus Christ redeemed us with His precious blood so that we are no longer called on to serve Satan or to serve sin. We are no longer the slaves of sin, but we are made able to serve Him, our kind and loving Master. And He has treated us well, hasn't He? He has been patient with our weaknesses. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. And although we may gladly call Him our Master and our Lord, so that we may consider ourselves to be His servants, I actually have better news for you yet. And that is as such. There's much more that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to make of us. And there is much more that He wants to give us as well. Far beyond being servants and slaves, He wants to turn you and me into royalty. Into royalty. In fact, He is in the process of giving us a kingdom. And this kingdom, which we are receiving, is not a shaky kingdom like those kingdoms of this world, even today. Kingdoms that rise and that fall. But it is a kingdom that cannot be moved. It is a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Because, after all, it is the kingdom of heaven. And as our journey continues to eternity, we will not receive a slave's pension or a poor man's pension, but a kingdom. A kingdom. In fact, it will be a kingdom that cannot be uprooted. In other words, it is a kingdom that is suitable for eternity, for you and for me. Someday, Therefore, we will sit as kings and rulers with Jesus on his throne, and we shall rule with him. Now imagine what a scaling up the ladder of spiritual success this is. From a slave in the slave market to kings and rulers of this great illustrious kingdom. See, it's Spurgeon says of this chain of events as follows, and I quote, "He," that is Christ, "never stops halfway in his march of mercy. He made us first his subjects, then his children, then his heirs, and here he makes us kings. For every heir of God is heir apparent to a throne." Now perhaps you say, yes, I do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have not received this kingdom yet. Well, that's true. But if you listen carefully to the text, then you may know that you are in the process of receiving it. That means that you do have the promise of a kingdom already. As the Lord Jesus himself once said, "I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me." Luke chapter 22. And as you believe God's word, he comforts you. And he says to you also this hour, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And again, you find it in Luke, and this time chapter 12. Therefore, this kingdom, dear fellow believers, this kingdom is yours by promise through faith in Jesus Christ. Moreover, this kingdom that you are receiving is yours in principle already. It is the kingdom within you, you see. The Apostle Paul also spoke of that, for, and you can read of that in Romans 14, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have this foretaste of the kingdom on occasion, such as comfort of righteousness and peace with God and joy of the Holy Spirit. You do not have that on occasion, but you may have that regularly as well. Regularly. This is because you have the kingdom of heaven already within you, as Christ says. But there's even more than that. There is this power of the kingdom as you receive it, and as it is felt and it is seen around you. And no doubt you have experienced something of that already. As a believer, have you not received power to resist sin and to overcome temptations? Have you not received power in order to control your passions? Have you not felt the power once in a while of divine protection as you find yourself in danger? Have you not felt the power of prayer on occasion when you cry out to God, "God, help me, help me"? Well, you see, these are all kingdom powers as foretastes of the kingdom that you are in the process of receiving. Therefore, you have much reason, I dare say, much reason to serve God acceptably. Now, if there is one reason, therefore, to serve God acceptably, it is this, that the kingdom of heaven is soon to be received in full measure with all the riches and the blessings that accompany it as well. Now, I also want to address those who are listening, and perhaps there are young people, boys and girls listening in as well. You know the story how the devil once tempted Jesus by telling Jesus to bow before him, and Jesus would then receive all the kingdoms of this earth and the glories that accompany them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he very easily resisted this temptation because he knew already that the kingdoms of this world are all on shaky ground. They move about, and their glories will soon pass away. But he, Jesus himself, he was already in possession of a kingdom, that is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved, and its glories will never vanish. It will never fade away. And that, my friend, is the kingdom being received by all those who believe in him. Now, the question can be asked also this time. Are you already in reception of such a kingdom? Have you already come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and found yourself raised on the ladder of spiritual success from servant, from slave to servant, to child, to heir of the kingdom of heaven? If not, and that is possible, of course, if not, let me urge you this hour to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because really what this world has to offer you will never satisfy you in the end. That is for sure. Let me therefore assure you, even now, that if you turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and entrust your whole sinful self to him and to him alone, he will not only redeem you from your sins and from the slavery, but he will turn you into royalty, as I have mentioned already at the very beginning. Royalty. Again, this should be enough reason for us, therefore, to present ourselves in serving God acceptably. Well, then, let me speak in the second place about the manner of such acceptable service. How then should you, receiving the kingdom, serve God acceptably? And this is particularly important for any whose lives have become more and more difficult as time goes on, as we live in this world. And I would think that that'd be all of us. Our text describes this manner of serving acceptably. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, we need to serve God with reverence and with godly fear. Some translations have it with reverence and awe. And we need to keep this in mind when we serve God, and particularly when we worship God. We should conduct ourselves with reverence and speak to God and speak about God with reverence. And therefore, the preaching of the gospel and the responding to the gospel and public prayer and corporate singing and offering is such a serious business. And it should be serious business for each and every one of us. Because the Lord God is amongst us. Where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. So he promises. And so we are in the presence of God, dear people. The Lord God is amongst us. And he speaks to us by way of his word and by way of his Holy Spirit. And nothing less than reverent, respectful behavior and reverent, respectful listening and is fitting and response that is reverent and respectful. Besides reverence for God, we should also display what our text says, godly fear. Now, what does it mean to engage in godly fear? It means to stand in awe for him who is holy, almighty, all-knowing, majestic, all-seeing, and we could add other terms as well to it. You see, godly fear is not a threat fear, but it is a worship fear that leads you more and more to trust, to obey, and to love him who has loved you with an everlasting love and has redeemed you from the slave market of sin. And how shall we serve God then as such, acceptably and with reverence and in godly fear? Do we have it in us to do it in our own strength? Can we, as it were, turn the tap on and out flows all kinds of reverence and godly fear, and we can simply let it gush out? Are we born with a spirit that would naturally cause us to conduct ourselves with reverence and with the fear of the Lord? I think you know the answer. If not, let the Apostle Paul just remind you for a moment again, as I read of it in Romans 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, I will not to do, that I practice. How can you then, as a believer in Jesus Christ, grow in reverence for him and in godly fear? Well, read our text very carefully. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need grace. We need grace to grow in reverence and in godly fear. And therefore, let us have grace. The implication is, of course, that we pray that God would give us that type of grace so that we may grow in reverence and in godly fear. Now, you know, don't you? You know, we need the grace of God to journey on. We need His grace to travel on to eternity, because without grace, we will fail to reach the end without grace. And as we journey on and as we travel through this shaky world onto eternity, we need grace to conduct ourselves with reverence and godly fear. Each day, therefore, the challenge lies before us that we grow, that we grow. Each morning, when you wake up, you must, as it were, school yourselves more and more in the fear of the Lord and the need for more grace every day. For this, the author of Hebrews says in our text, let us have grace. And again, I want to quote Spurgeon, because he has such a powerful word to say about these things. Spurgeon, in preaching on this text, once said to his congregation as follows: you are to serve the Lord not in the strength of your own wit or experience or talent, but in the energy of the new life which God has given you, and in the power of the grace which is continually bestowed upon you moment by moment as you seek it of the Lord. Therefore, ask for grace and then worship Him in the power of such grace. And so again, dear people, if you want to grow in reverence and learn more godly fear, you and I, we need to pray for grace. But now I come to the last line of our text, that is verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Now you might very well wonder, what does this have to do with what we have just spoken of before? If you, as a believer, are exhorted to serve God acceptably in reverence and in godly fear, why do we now have to consider the fact that our God is a consuming fire? Well, if you, as a believer, do not need to have any threat fear about God or towards God, why does the author of Hebrews then say to you, for our God is a consuming fire? Well, let us consider this in the third place by the heading, the circumstances around such acceptable service. Now, dear people, as you seek to serve God acceptably, and doing so, travel on in this shaky, moving world, you must keep in mind that God understands how difficult this is for you and for me. You need to keep in mind that God knows the circumstances in which you and I are called to travel. Also at this particular time. He knows that you and I are surrounded with all kinds of difficulties. And we are surrounded by those who oppose us. You and I, we are traveling to eternity under adverse conditions. In the first place, of course, you feel your own weakness. You are keenly aware that you are far from being perfect yet. You know also very well that there is much that needs to grow yet, and that you need to grow yet in reverence, and that you have much to learn yet of what it means to worship God in godly fear. And again, then there are those who oppose you as well. There's the devil who actually wants you to stop serving God. He wants you to prevent. He wants you to not receive the kingdom. He wants to prevent that sort of gift. And he's throwing up all types of roadblocks as well. I urge you, do not be overly concerned what the devil might do. Why? Our God is a consuming fire. He will someday have the devil and all his cohorts burning in hell. And those roadblocks that he might have thrown up will also burn in hell along with them. Then there's also the world that wants to do anything but serve God. There are those in the world that are making it very, very difficult for you and me to serve God acceptably. There are those in the world who might even resort to persecute you and me someday, as is being done already in China and some of the other countries as well, particularly in North Korea. And again, let us, you and me, not be overly concerned what the world and what our enemies might do to us. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire, that he will someday settle the score with this world and with its evil inhabitants with his consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, it is possible for someone listening to this message that he or she has been traveling a long ways already towards eternity. But it is an eternity that ends up in a dreadful situation, a dreadful eternity. And this should be very serious considerations for you who refuse to entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to reject him. Because without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will face a terrible eternity that can only be described as eternal God-forsakenness. You've traveled on in your own way, and you have neglected the way of God. And so I address you, dear friend, remember, the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. What is to become of you? Your travels will soon come to an end, and you will die. And then what? What is there after death? It is the judgment, so the Bible tells us. And it is an eternity of suffering in God's consuming fire. In other words, to say it in this way, your case is bad. But presently, it is not yet hopeless. You have done much to shut yourself out from God's mercy, haven't you? But you are hearing, and you are in the hearing range of God's word this hour. This means that God has and continues to send messages to you even as you are traveling towards that eternity. And you can see road signs, and you should see road signs on the way, therefore. God wants you to go his way. And you'll see the arrows pointing to the cross. Go that way. Because that is the way God wants you to go. He calls you. And He speaks words of love and tenderness towards you. To admonish you that the way you've been going is wrong. It's wrong. He clearly holds out the sign of mercy before you. And He says to you with great concern, why will you die? And so, my friend, God can pardon even now. Think of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, has made. As He was exposed to, guess what? He was exposed to God's consuming fire as He hung on the cross. Bow, therefore, before this personified, consumed sacrifice, Jesus Christ. You are to look to Him for mercy, dear friend, because the day of grace is not yet past. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and look to Him and listen to the words when He says, look to Me and be saved. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 and offers you a very loving caution. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. And so, dear fellow travelers to eternity and to the promised land, the heavenly Canaan, the fact that our God is a consuming fire should not scare you. Even as you continue to exercise the gift of faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, our God is a consuming fire. But as such, He is right there to protect you on the way. Even as that column of fire protected the people of Israel as they journeyed out of Egypt towards the promised land. It was the column of fire that protected them from their enemies, the Egyptians. Our God is a consuming fire, and that, my fellow believer, was proven most decisively when Jesus Christ died on the cross to sacrifice Himself for you and me, for the likes of you and me, and for the sins that we have committed. Then God, too, was a consuming fire when His fierce wrath upon our sins fell upon Jesus Christ and, as it were, consumed Him. And as a fire, He consumed, and as the fire actually consumed the sacred sacrifice, it made Him cry out at a certain point, my God, why have You forsaken Me? But based on this consumed sacred sacrifice, we, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who made this sacrifice after all, we do not have to fear eternity. Let us now, as we travel on, therefore, serve God with reverence and with godly fear, and we will receive the kingdom. Let us be encouraged. Let us be comforted. Let us go on in our journey. And let us consider all of what you have heard, my fellow travelers, as we go the way that God wants us to go. Therefore, let us be faithful travelers on to eternity. Let us be ready to journey to the kingdom that we will be receiving. Let us do so by serving God acceptably and with reverence and with godly fear, and pray that the grace of God makes it possible for you and me